I appreciate Brother Ken. I told my boys coming over here, boys, y'all gonna get to hear some preaching tonight. Amen. Thought we was gonna get to hear Brother Ken. So I apologize to you boys. You're just going. I appreciate the Hendersons. What a cool drink of water. Get homesick from time to time, being in a new place, and they just felt like home. And thank God for them. Amen. Brother Ken, I'm thankful for a church where folks that just want to come. Didn't even plan that, did you? Holy Ghost planned it. We cancel our service. Tonight's homecoming this morning. Cancel our service. And boy said, hey, can we go over at Brother Ken's tonight? That helps me, preacher. Liberty Baptist Church is a blessing not just to Bowden, Georgia. It's a blessing in Fort Payne, Alabama. It's a blessing over in Roanoke. Amen. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be friends with Brother Ken. I want you to take your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 59. I did not plan this at all. This is something, just this verse has been on my heart. And when the preacher told me it's going to be me, I went upstairs in that little room right up there and I asked God for something. And He gave me this verse. Never have preached this verse before. Never have preached this thought. It's not something I've developed and had stuck back. But God knows what He's doing and I trust Him with everything. Amen. If this thing works out, then He'll get the glory. If it doesn't work out, well, He'll get the glory. We ought to all feel like John the Baptist. I must decrease and He must increase. Amen. Isaiah 59, let's begin reading in verse number 16. Read down to verse number 19. If you love your Bible, say amen. Isaiah chapter number 59 and verse number 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Father in heaven, God, oh God, I pray You do the preaching tonight. I pray, Lord, that this thing would be so much more than just some man trying to preach. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would take the Holy Scripture and preach a sermon to the heart of Your people. Help us tonight, oh God, like only You can. And we'll thank You for it. We'll give You all the credit and all the glory and all the honor that's due Your holy name. We'll thank You for everything You do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May be seated. I want you to notice here with me in chapter number 59. There are some things I want to point out by way of introduction, but let me say this. I was told that the book of Isaiah is like a mini Bible. There are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and that I was told that Isaiah can be compared to the 66 books of the Bible. Now I believe that, amen. I believe that this book is a marvelous book, and you could study it all your life and live to be 100 and not even scratch the surface of this marvelous, wonderful book that God has given to us. Thank God for our Bible. Well, if I was told correctly, then in chapter number 59, we'd be in the book of James. And it's in the book of James that we're getting certain instructions for how to deal with certain situations. Now, I want to point something out to you here by way of introduction in verse number 19. Now, I want you to look at this phrase with me here at the bottom of verse number 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I'm interested in that phrase in verse number 19. First of all, notice with me here, there is the announcement of an enemy. I know that you don't like to hear that, and I don't like to tell that, but the fact still remains that we have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if he could, he would destroy your marriage. And if he could, he would destroy your mind. And if he could, he would destroy the ministries of this fine church here tonight. Given to him, he would wreak havoc in every area of our lives. We have an enemy. Somebody say amen. I know that in this day and age there are folks that don't like to talk about negative subjects from the pulpit. I'd rather preach on heaven and tell you about all the good things, but the fact still remains that there is a very real devil out there. And the Bible said, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We can stick our head in the sand and say that he's not real, but it will not change the fact that there's a devil out there that would love to destroy everything there is about God in our lives. Amen. The announcement of an enemy, that's not good news. But don't nobody go to bed on me. I'll get there in a minute. Somebody say amen. Oh, the announcement of an enemy. And like I said before, if that what I was told is true, and the Bible can be compared to the book of Isaiah, we're in chapter 59, and that puts us in the book of James. And I'm interested in the fact that it was in the book of James that we learn how to deal with the devil. In chapter 4 and verse number 7, nobody ever quotes the first part, but I'm going to go ahead and quote the first part, for it's essential to the second part. The first part says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Somebody say amen right there. I believe we ought to surrender, as the songwriter said, I surrender all. Give it all to Jesus. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Now here's the second part. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Somebody say amen. Now listen, there may be an enemy out there, but we are not without protection. We are not without hope in this battle that we're in. Somebody say amen. Peter said it was like a lion, as a roaring lion. I was watching the Discovery Channel one day with, well, my youngins was looking at it, and I let them every now and then until they go to talking about 5 billion years ago, then I turn it off. Amen. But they were looking at the lions and how the lions acted in the wild in Africa. And this is what the person said, and it picked up my interest. It grabbed my interest, and so I watched it. They said that when a lion is roaring, there's really nothing to worry about. Amen. I thought to myself, I don't care to ever hear a lion roar. Amen. I don't want to know nothing about that. But that's what this expert said, that when the lion is roaring, it's not about to do anything. He's just trying to strike fear in the heart of its prey. It's just trying to cause you to be afraid. And by the way, fear is of the devil. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Somebody ought to holler amen. But they said when the lion gets quiet, that's when you ought to be afraid. Amen. Oh, my, thought about another lion. Hey, he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's been hunkered down in the tall grass of time for some 2,000 years. Ain't nobody heard much from him, but he's about to pounce, and the enemy don't know it yet. But you ought to be afraid of that lion. Hallelujah. The announcement of an enemy. I don't like it no more than you do, but it's still true. We have an enemy. Oh, listen to me now. Look at the second thing here in verse number 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Not only did we see the announcement of an enemy, but the advancement of an enemy. He does not just trickle in here and there. He comes in like a flood. When I was a kid back in 1984, we moved from the hills of Tennessee out to the plains of Texas. And I said plain of Texas. Amen. Flat. You can see for miles. I hated it. Mountain boy. Give me the hills and the mountains any day. Amen. But I was out there and it floods out there all the time. Floods, it would rain for 10 minutes and there'll be a flood. Amen. And a flood came through one time in our little neighborhood and swept houses off their foundations. It swept, broke down trees that had been there for 100 years. It did damage that you could not even believe. And that is exactly how the Bible said the enemy will come into our lives. Not just a little here and there, but as a flood, a sweeping flood, the enemy will come in and tear up as much as it possibly can. The advancement of the enemy. He'll come in like a flood. But I want you to notice the third thing. By way of introduction, I'll give you my little three thoughts that I just jotted down. Hallelujah. Preaching by faith. God help us all. The attacking of that enemy. Now I want you to notice that God does not leave us to ourselves. He tells us that there's an enemy. He tells us how the enemy will come in. But then thank God, the Bible said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall, hallelujah, right there. I'm glad, thank God, this battle does not depend on me fighting it. Somebody say amen. The battle is the Lord's. I'll win the victory because He's the fighter. I don't have to, amen. You know what old Brother Bud does? When the devil comes knocking at his door, I let the Lord handle it, amen. I ain't even got time to fool with him. I ain't talking to him. I ain't got nothing to say to him. He and I are not on speaking terms. If I was one of these crazy charismatic preachers on TV, I'd jump out there and say, I bind you, Satan. I hold you, Satan. Get thee behind me. Honey, you reading that Bible you got, and the Lord's the only one that ever rebuked him. Michael contended with the devil over the bones of Moses and said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Somebody say amen. He's the only one that ever could rebuke the devil. You say, preacher, if there's an enemy like that, then we're no match for him. That very well may be. But the Spirit of God is able. You might not be able to handle it. You might not be able to take what he throws. But the Spirit of God, he's got a plan. He can handle it. Really, really the battle is the Lord's. Amen? It's the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, not ours. We're in this fight, but we're kind of like them old boys over there. And I know everybody got mad at them when they read it. When old Goliath got to cussing the armies of God, everybody got mad at the army of Israelites. Well, you know what? They was doing their duty. They stood there toe to toe. Well, they might have been a little afraid. Amen. Come on now. They might have been a little afraid. And didn't nobody volunteer to go out and fight with him? Should have been Saul. He is head and shoulders above the rest of them. He is the biggest one out there. He should have went out there and fought with him. But they did. Listen, they stayed the course. Somebody say amen. They stood their ground. They said, we might be a little afraid, but you ain't a going a step further than right there where you are. And they were waiting on the giant killer. Amen. I'm glad I got enough sense to know I'm not the giant killer. Somebody say amen. But if I stand my ground long enough, hey, might be 20 days, 30 days, but day 40 is a coming when that giant killer's going to come and he's going to take his head. That greater David will appear and he's got victory. He'll win the battle on our behalf. Lord of God, that makes me feel so good. I'm about to get a water pistol and go devil hunting. Amen. Now, you can't tell by looking at me, but I never was a fighter. I know. It's true. Never was. I was the youngest of five boys. I fought whether I liked it or not. We fought over the last piece of chicken. We fought over the best bed. Guess who slept on the old couch? You know the one I'm talking about too. The old wagon wheel pattern, them real wood arms. And somebody got the idea of taking the springs out and putting in a piece of plywood. That's where I was sleeping. That's the very couch that we bought when my wife and I first got married. We didn't buy it though, somebody gave it to us. It's the same couch making its way from newlywed to newlywed to newlywed. How many of y'all had that old couch? Raise your hand. I see what I mean? That's exactly right. Oh, but I didn't like to fight. I had to because it was just a necessary survival skill, but I didn't like it. My brothers, there wasn't no man in the house. We didn't have a daddy. My four older brothers felt it each their responsibility to make a man out of me. Let me say this to any of you who are involved in that type of plan in the life of your younger sibling. You couldn't reach a point where you turn them against violence altogether. Ask me how I know. Hallelujah. I never did like fighting. Oh, listen. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Let me give you my three little old points that I jotted down out of verse number 19. Are you ready? Look at it. This is how to attack the enemy. How the Lord, the Bible said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He shall lift up a standard against him. I'm going to preach on that standard and give you three things. I didn't even know what it was until I looked at Brother Ken's Illustrated Bible Dictionary upstairs. And this is what it said. It said a symbol. Hallelujah. It's so good. It blessed my heart up there. I hope it does pretty good down here too. We'll all go back up there if it don't work down here. This is what the Illustrated Bible Dictionary up in the upper room said. It's a symbol, hallelujah, it's a symbol put on a pole and raised high. Woo, hallelujah.
Well, since let me go ahead on and spell it out to you. This is what the... Hallelujah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, and that's how he's coming. He wants to drag every soul that he possibly can into hell. He wants to damn every soul he can. He wants our youngins and our grand youngins. He wants to destroy as much as he can. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, this is what the Lord does. He lifts up a standard against him. Hallelujah. I need somebody to go to church with me tonight. There's something. There's a symbol. Hallelujah. There's a symbol that is placed on a pole that is raised up that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, raises up. And it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Not an army, not 1,000 angels, just one symbol on a pole. And raised up.
I ain't studied it, so I don't really know what to say much more about it, so you're going to have to preach it with me. Preach it with me. That's Calvary's cross. There was a time when the children of Israel encountered some fiery serpents. Oh, they bit the children of Israel. Many died. The serpent has always been a picture of our enemy. He is a serpent, the great red dragon of the book of Revelation. He's the serpent that climbed up in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and beguiled Eve and caused the destruction of the relationship between God and man. He's the same serpent all throughout the Bible. In the book of Numbers, they encountered some fiery serpents. And the Bible said many of them were bitten by those fiery serpents. And Moses prayed. And here's what God told him. Said, take you a brass serpent and set it on a pole. Hallelujah, it's getting better as long. The more I preach it, the better I like it. Said, I want you to, what it is a symbol. Said, I want you to put it on a pole. And I want you to raise it high. So that when folks can look upon this symbol, they'll live. Hallelujah. Honey, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was put on a pole and he was raised up. He's a hallelujah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. Cross of Calvary was enough to stay the enemy. Well, let me give you these 3 points. I'm excited about it now. I was scared a while ago, but since it's going to be like this, I'm happy about it. I got to thinking about some reasons for some reasons why they would have a standard. Every army had a standard. If you'll read through the book of Numbers, every tribe of Israel had a standard. Every family had a standard, and it represented something. It meant something. It was for a reason. Now, there's probably a whole lot more, but I'm only smart enough to come up with 3, and plus the choir was coming down, so I had to get up. I had to leave the upper room. Number one, the standard was for the reputation of the warriors. You see, when that enemy would be coming over the horizon, and the army that would be facing that enemy would be coming, they would raise up that standard
that symbol set on a pole and raised high so that the enemy would know what they're getting themselves into. Woo! Help me preach it because I don't know what to say. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you might look around at Christianity and see a little ragtag band of misfit pilgrims that don't amount to a whole lot when compared to this world. But that's that Blood Bowl crowd. That's that crowd that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You better understand, devil, that if you go attacking down here, you better understand what you're getting yourself into. We ain't been, this ain't our first rodeo. This ain't the first time we've been under fire. This ain't the first attack that we've ever had. This ain't the first time that the enemy has tried to come in. You better know what you're getting yourself into. The reputation of the warriors. Just in case you don't know, we're cut from the same stock as that crowd during the Dark Ages. Secular history books calls them the Middle Ages. It's dark. Catholic Church tried to keep us from the Bible. You can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and find accounts, account after account after account. They tried to make them recant and say that Jesus was not the Son of God. They tried to get them to deny the Lord. And they said, if you don't deny Him, we'll tie you to that stake and we'll burn you alive. And they said, well, bless God, let's get on with it. Amen. Don't worry about tying my hands, honey. Just light the fire and let's get on with it. This might be a fire to you, but it's the stairway to heaven for me. Hallelujah. I might burn in my flesh down here, but the last time I'll ever feel pain in this old body, I'm going yonder to glory. They tried to get old Polycarp to recant. He said, 86 years have I served my Lord. Whoop! And they asked him, those that were awaiting their time. And by the way, this helped my church on Wednesday night. If you're ever afraid to die, it's only because you ain't dying yet. You'd have dying grace. I held the hand of a deacon one time at the hospital bed that's going to do heart surgery. He was scared to death and it bothered him. He said, preacher, why am I so afraid? He was troubling his spirit. Because he said, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Why am I so scared? I said, because you ain't going to die. You ain't got a thing to worry about, because if you was going to die, you'd be sitting there eating popsicles. At peace, because there's new grace. They were in the jail cell and they told him, if it's tolerable, lift your hands. They didn't have to tie Polycarp to the stake. He walked up to it and kissed it. And stood there. As the flames licked his body, the flesh was dripping off of his fingers, and they thought that it was too intolerable for him to raise his hands. But about the time they thought he was dead, he lifted them bare skeleton hands toward heaven and said, children, follow me. What are you going to do with somebody that ain't scared to die? Hey, Let the Antichrist come, honey. Amen. I'm glad I ain't going to be here, but there's going to be some Christians that'll get saved after this thing's over with. Can I get a witness? Didn't mean to get controversial, but it slipped out. Revelation chapter 11 said there'll be a great multitude saved that no man can number out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation. No man can number them. I hope that wouldn't bog you down. But they're going to cut their heads off. He's going to cut their heads off. Woo! They stuck old John the Revelator. They took Apostle John, dipped him in a bath of boiling oil, and he didn't even get a blister because he was already on fire. So somebody say amen right there. Well, what are you going to do if somebody won't burn? I know what to do. Let's ship him off to an island called Patmos. That'll be the last we ever hear from him. Worst thing you ever could have done, because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he called down revelations and was caught up into glory. Hallelujah. What are you going to do if somebody ain't scared to die? That's that crowd. If Satan's going to attack us, somebody needs to lift up that standard. The cross of Calvary. Amen. Said they searched heaven and earth and under the earth. That's the only three places anybody is right now. Couldn't find nobody worthy to open the book. To break the seal. The seven sealed book. John wept. He thought that was it. It's over. Nobody's able to open. One of them elders. Was it the elders? Or was it the creature? He was one of them elders. I ain't read my Bible in a while in Revelation. I come up there and said, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." John turned around and said, "Where is the Lion?" Yonder he stands and said, "He looked like a lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the world." Somebody ought to lift up the standard when the enemy comes in like a flood. The cross of Calvary is our symbol, our reputation. He better understand we're that blood ball crowd. You might not ought to mess with us. Reputation of the warriors. Are y'all with me? Reputation of the warriors. Second thing, reasons why we have these standards. The standard was for the reputation of the warrior. But it was also, I like this one here, it was for the retreat for the wounded. You see, this is a battle. And we are on the front lines. Oftentimes behind enemy lines. Amen? There are wounds sustained in this battle. We have the enemy firing his fiery darts at us from in the front and from behind. You got, bless their hearts, Christians that never got out of kindergarten, and they're so far back there they don't know the enemy from their friend, and it's called friendly fire, and they're shooting at folks in the back. You'll get wounded from your own brethren in the back. You'll get wounded from the enemy from the front. There are wounds that are to be sustained in the house of God. Let me say this to you. The worst hurts are church hurts. Is that right, preacher? I expect that old wicked crowd out there to hate my guts. But wounds sustain. Oh, it's a battle. You ever been hurt in church? Oh, it hurts worse to be hurt in church. I knock on the door of folks' house all the time. They say, yeah, I know where Faith Baptist Church is. I used to go there. Well, I said, well, what happened? I got hurt. I got hurt. And it don't matter what happened. They just got hurt. I understand that. I understand that. But you know what we're like? When we get wounded, we tend to take off. Run. But you know what that standard's for? When those soldiers would be in the midst of the battle and one would sustain a wound, he could look up, hallelujah, and see that symbol set on a pole and raised high, and he could retreat to the foot of the cross and find healing and find help. The medic hangs around the standard. There's help at the standard. If you're out there on the front lines of the battlefield and you sustain a wound, don't run away. Don't run away. Lift up your head and find that standard and run to the cross and get the help that you need at Calvary's cross. The last thing you need to do when you get hurt in church is to quit church. Don't quit church because you get hurt in church. Run to the standard. Oh God! Run to the cross of Calvary. He has help to sustain us. I wish one of you preachers would give me a couple sub-points on this. I'd like to preach some more on that point. I ain't got no more. We'll just preach it together for a minute. You get hurt in church, run to Calvary. Amen. I got one last thought and I'll be done. I'll preach it and I'll be done. The standard was for the reputation of the warriors. See, the enemy come across a hill and see that standard, somebody will say, hey, this is what I was going to tell y'all a while ago and I forgot. I'm glad I remembered because I feel like at this point I'm running out of stuff to say. You know better than that. Any preacher can. We can run rabbits for 2 hours, somebody say amen, not talk about anything. I was the youngest of five boys, I told you before, and I never did like to fight. But you know what? Going through school, I never had to. Because my four older brothers loved it. They loved to fight. Would start fights. Would fight at the drop of a hat. Buy you a hat. Knock it out of your hands just to fight. Love to fight. Hey, I ain't lying about it. My brother Joe won the Georgia State Championship in wrestling in 1984. Went into Greco-Roman wrestling. He's retired now, bless his heart, from no-holds-barred mixed martial arts tournaments and has never been beaten. I won a hot wings eating contest one time. Hey, that's hot. My lips was throbbing. You know you're eating hot wings when you feel your heart beating your lips. I just didn't want you to think I was a sissy. Oh, they love to fight. And every time somebody'd bow up at me at school, somebody in the crowd would say, you better watch what you're doing. Whole time my heart's a beating like the wings of a hummingbird. And I'm scared to death this guy's going to hit me. Somebody will say, you better watch out. That's James's little brother. That's Joe's little brother. That's Billy's little brother. That's Roger's little brother. And they'd say, oh, okay, all right then. And I'd say, that's what I thought, bless God. I never had to fight because my big brother, I wasn't no good at it, but my big brother, I couldn't fight, but my big brother, he's a fighter. He's a man of war. He's the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He's my big brother. Father, and He fights my battle for me. Devil better check himself, for he wrecks himself. He don't want none of us. He done got his head crushed. He like a dog with no teeth. All bark and no bite. Hallelujah. The reputation of the warriors. Amen. Well, what was the next thing? I done forgot. It's brand new. I don't know nothing about it. Retreat for the wounded. You get hurt, run to Calvary. Let the drippings of Calvary flow into those spots. Have you ever met anybody that got real bad hurt in church and then got over it? I know it's a rare bird, but you can't hurt somebody like that. You can't hurt them. You see, a tree, a mighty oak tree, will stain a wound, and that unseen sap will flow to that wounded spot and bind that thing harder and stronger than it ever was before. And there'll never be another wound in that spot. You ever get hurt in church, you ought to run to Calvary. Where the preacher's got that symbol set on a pole and lifted up high. Hallelujah. Right there. Retreat for the wounded. Let me say this. I'm done right here. It was a reminder for the wanderers. You see, always the tactic of the enemy was to divide the armies. He knows their strength in numbers. He knows that together, there ain't a whole lot he can do with us. But if he could somehow drive a wedge. If somehow he could drive a wedge in between us, well, then he could attack us individually. And we're easy prey. We're sitting ducks. Together we've got the strength of unity, the strength of numbers. Why do you think all throughout the church epistles we are called upon to keep one mind, one accord, one spirit, the unity of Christ? Keep it together! Because the enemy will try his best. What he'll do is he'll flank us. He'll get us cut off from our fellow soldiers. Oh, it's been a lot of times and I'd have been a goner had it not been for a brother in Christ. Pick the phone up. Oh God! Woo! I'd have tore up my ordination papers. It had not been for one good old saint of God call me and say, hey, brother, I pray for you today. God put you on my heart. Oh, and we're together, we're strong. My wife and I are like that. We are as perfect a couple as I've ever seen. I ain't saying we got a perfect marriage. She needs your prayers. Y'all tell her I kill every one of you. You'll never preach again. Never preach again, you tell her. See, sometimes I have a bad day, and she has a good day on that day. I'll come home having a bad day, and she'll have a good day. And she'll sort of help me. Sometimes she'll have a bad day, and on that particular day, I'll have a good day. Lord God, if we ever had a bad day on the same day, we'd leave, probably. Y'all'd never hear from us again. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. We're supposed to help each other like that. But the tactic of the enemy is to get in there somehow. He'll get in there somehow. Oh, and he's more, the Bible said in Genesis 3, he's more subtle. He'll figure a way in there. And he'll separate us. He'll separate us so that we're easy targets. You know why Jesus left that 99 in the fold? To go out after that one little lamb? And he wouldn't stop searching until he found it. Because he knew that out there, away from the fold, away from the shepherd, there are wolves, and there are pits, and there are dangers that await a helpless little lamb, and out there by themselves, they're no match for the enemy. That's why the good shepherd left the 99 in the fold, and he went out after that one little lost lamb, and he did not stop searching till he found it, and he brought it back. He said, "Rejoice with me. Found that little lamb." Folks, when the enemy comes in and separates us, sometimes they'll get to wandering out there. I hate to see this as a pastor. You notice things like this. The preacher knows things because he has to. God tells him. God shows him. Not that he's any better than anybody else. He has to. God shows him. And he'll see somebody not coming to Sunday school. Come on now. Don't y'all bog down on me now. He'll notice somebody not coming back on Sunday night. Somebody they'll miss every other Wednesday night. And then before you know it, they're out there. And they're wandering around. They're wandering around. And I tell you this, it'll happen and you not even know it happened. You won't even want it to happen, but you'll all of a sudden. By the way, you ain't got to get out of church to get out of church. All of a sudden your Bible become dull to you. You won't read it like you used to. All of a sudden praying won't bless you like it used to. And so you'll leave off praying. Amen? You're just a wandering around, wandering, easy target for the enemy. Easy target for the enemy. But I'm glad, thank God, for a reminder to the wanderers when they look up, and they see that symbol set on a pole and raised high. They can run back to the cross and they know that's where the captain is. That's where the fellow soldiers are. That's where help is. That's where my platoon is. That's where I need to be and go back home. Some of y'all like the prodigal son. You just need to go home. Go home. Go home. Go home. Go home. I heard this story told that during the Vietnam War, there were some soldiers that had a big problem with suicide. Those soldiers, they'd get separated from one another. They'd get out there in those foxholes with bombs bursting all around them and bullets flying past their head, and they'd get in that foxhole and they'd think that they were the only one left. They would think that they were the last living survivor of their squad. And they'd turn their gun on themselves. Happened to Elijah. Amen. Battle with prophets of Baal. 850 killed him by himself in 1 Kings 18, 1 Kings 19. One woman. You say, "I wouldn't run from one woman." Honey, you'd run if it's the right woman. Jezebel get after you. He went a day's journey into the wilderness without food or water. He might as well have took a gun and put it to his head. Amen. Laid down and said, "It is enough. I've had enough." He wanted to die and ask God. And that's exactly what was happening to them soldiers out there. They would turn their rifle on themselves. Well, the higher ranking officers got wind of this. And they decided that every so many days, they would bring those frontline soldiers back off of the front lines and just put them way away from the battle in a barracks by themselves and just let them see each other. Hallelujah. what I'm trying to tell you. They'd walk in, one of them would walk in and say, well, there's old so-and-so. I thought you was dead. I thought I was the only one left. I thought I was the last one and ready to give up. Honey, listen to me now. We need each other more than you know. We need to stay around the cross. Run back to Calvary's cross. That's where the captain is. That's where headquarters is. Run back to Calvary if you're out there wandering around. Oh, listen. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let's pray. Come on, preacher.